These are sweet moments. Sweet moments. Transforming moments. Let them go deep. Moments of worship. Moments of submission. Moments of humility. Let them go deep. Let them go deep. Father, we raise up your name high above. It's already there, but we realize it more and more. We submit ourselves to you with a smile, not with a gritting our teeth. Lord, we come before you in joy, knowing you are life itself inside of us. 700 names and titles active inside of us if we allow it and we don't resist you. Thank you, Father. We open our hearts to you today more and more. We open our hearts to your Spirit teaching us more and more. We come into your presence more and more. We receive your power more and more. Here we are, God, just your children, just your kids. But you empower us, you anoint us, you take us to the nations, you let us be your mouthpiece of the powerful gospel. We take that as a privilege. We take that as an honor from you, our Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, we have some kingdom kids here. I think we're going to release them. Hopefully the kingdom is still in here as well as in kingdom land. Yes, step in and start that video. How would you like to have some sanctified fun along with a good challenge? What do you say? You're supposed to smile when I say that. See what we can do here. I had it pictured it as the kids would go out, the video would start, but that didn't happen yet. So I need to... It's not a problem. How would you like to hear about your kingdom mission today? Wow, there were five people. Usually it's only three. That's good. Five people who want to hear about your kingdom mission today. You're on an impossible mission. It's over your head. You still want to sign up for your kingdom mission? It's way over your head. Way over. That's why some people don't start on their kingdom mission. They think it's impossible. How could I ever start on my kingdom mission when I'm not prepared? I'm not ready. I'm not equipped. It's too much for me. But God has planned it out, hasn't he? A step at a time. He knows how much you can take, how fast you can take it, how you can move into your kingdom mission. Step at a time. He has it all set up ahead of time. So even though it's over your head, you have such a big God that has decided that if you receive Jesus into your life, he'll come and live right inside of you, empowering you so that the impossible mission becomes the possible mission. Some of you have started your mission. Some are still in preparation stage. And if you're not careful, you'll prepare the rest of your life. And then when the day comes that you pass from this life to the next, you won't be ready for your mission even at that moment. But the time will be up. So we don't want that to happen here at Frontline. All the leaders here at Frontline, many of you at Frontline want to encourage one another, iron sharpening iron, so that doesn't happen. that on the day of your passing into eternity, you'll be able to know that God is going to meet you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But you're going to be smiling and he's going to be smiling. It's a little different than some of the pictures maybe we've had. He is going to be smiling when you enter into his presence, because he's smiling now. Why would he change it to a frown then? Are you doing so well now that God should smile? I'm not. But he sings over you. He wants you to go to your next step of glory. God, as we've heard, is in a very good mood. But he also wants to challenge us at the same time. He's a father. What father doesn't want to be pleased with his children and challenge his children all at the same time? And God can do it better than anyone. He's the perfect father. So we have an impossible mission. That was the cue for the video, if it's ready. Is it ready? Not ready yet. Okay. Wow. Okay, we'll try that later. Do you know that the motto for the state of Ohio is, with God, all things are possible? That became our motto in 1959. A 10-year-old boy noticed something. The state of Ohio didn't have a motto. 48 other states did. And in 1959, of course, Alaska and Hawaii were added to make them the 49th and 50th states. So we were in a bad situation. We didn't have a motto. Everyone else had a motto. So a 10-year-old boy started a petition, and he gave his suggestion, his mother's favorite phrase, with God, all things are possible. I hope it wasn't a reflection on the young man. With God, everything is possible. Please help this boy, you know. So he suggested that. They put it on a petition, and he was able to get 18,000 signatures. And they submitted it to the legislature. The legislature passed it. And it became the motto of Ohio in 1959 and has since been. It was challenged in 2001, a federal challenge, and it survived. Survived the challenge. We're the only state with a Bible verse, or a part of a Bible verse, that's a motto. We're under an open heaven in Ohio. We're under God's favor in Ohio. Are we going to complete our individual mission and our mission together as a body to honor even what God has been able to hold on to in the state of Ohio? Even our motto is over us with singing, hopefully. They used to put it on the tax forms. With God, all things are possible. They did. They put it on the tax forms, and they kind of got rid of it over the years. You know, the government's not real excited about putting God on anything. It's amazing. It's still on our coins. It's still on some of our buildings in Washington, D.C. The ACLU tries to wipe it off the map, but it survives in some vestiges. But the most important thing is it survives in our hearts. That in our hearts we say, with God, all things are possible. Otherwise, the mission would be impossible. Okay. That's called a teaser. So beyond being your destiny, your mission, we have to think it's God's destiny, God's mission. Some people are on their own mission for God. They tell God what their mission is, and then they do what they want to do with God. They say, you know, I kind of like doing this in the kingdom, so I'll do this. They tell God, in a sense, what he should actually be offering to them. Because you can't be empowered in your own mission. That was supposed to be like an amen. You can't be empowered in your own mission. No. You can only be empowered in a kingdom mission that God gives you. So if you're struggling in life, it might be time to go before God and say, wow, have I been doing more of my mission than your mission? Have I been saying it's your mission or trying to submit it to you, get signatures from my family and friends, take a poll, and then say, God, here's your mission for me. How many have done that before? I'm raising my hand because I have done that before. Most of you know I wanted to be the single parent Apostle Paul at one point. And God had something bigger, different than that. Wow, amazing. It's an important distinction. He owns your kingdom mission, not you. He created it, not you. It means that you can partner with God and his mission for you, but it is not wise to create your own mission. Last time, I spoke on two things that we absolutely need in the Christian life in order to be in alignment with God. We use this center aisle as the alignment with God. We said, on this side, you need the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for changing us in many ways. And we said we need the Spirit of God in order to remind us of the things Jesus taught us. John 14:26, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You put those two together and you can be led as a son of God right in the middle of God's will, as Romans 8:14 and 15 talks about. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you're the son of God. You're sons of God when you're led by the Spirit. When you're led by the Spirit of God, you can't come into full sonship of the King, of the family, unless you're led by the Spirit of God. So that's why people they're kind of happy that they're Christians. They're kind of happy that God calls them sons and daughters. But they have a little problem with the word saint, because they don't see themselves aligned very often with God. And so when you call them a saint, oh, no, not me. Not me. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You're no longer a sinner. You're no longer a sinner in position. Now, in practice, we can be. But God looks at us as saints, wants to breathe life into that so that we're in the center of his will. The way he does it is the Word of God, the Spirit of God. We listen to the Holy Spirit, and we come into alignment with God's mission for our life. Spoke on that last time. We actually had verses that we were going to put up so you could see those, but we're having technical difficulties. So what does the Word of God do for us? It reveals the Father to us. Do you need to have the Father revealed to you?
Yes.
Yes. That's what the book of John is about. Revealing the Father. Jesus revealing the Father. Revealing the Father. Why is that so important? Because if we don't know he's a good Father and he wants to give us good gifts, and he wants us to be in alignment with him, we'll just think of God as God. It sometimes becomes impersonal. And then you meet people across the world, which we've gone to all these different countries, and we meet them, and they say, oh, I believe in God. Look at my idol. Oh, I believe in God. Look at my practice. Look at what I do. I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in God. As soon as you insert Jesus, it's a different discussion, because then that personalizes God. You have to face up to Jesus Christ King of kings, Lord of lords, over all the gods, so far above that anything on earth that's been designed, fashioned by man, pales in comparison, and they are backing up. What are you talking about this Jesus for? Why are you trying to make him God? No, we don't make him God. He is God. He's over everything. He's in our lives. They look in our eyes. They see the fire of Jesus in our eyes. And suddenly, many of them either hate us as believers, or they want to come towards Jesus, the Jesus inside of us. That's a good thing. You are a divisive figure. That's a good thing. Because otherwise, there would be nothing to discuss. Oh, you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. You believe in God? Yeah, I believe. Everybody, oh, you believe in God? Oh, I'm an atheist. Okay. Here and there along the way. But so many people say they believe in God. Are they on their kingdom mission? Most aren't. Most don't know a personal God. You have God living inside. How personal is that? He's part of your DNA. If you know Jesus. If you know Jesus. Well, I don't think I need to do that. He says you do. No Holy Spirit inside unless you give the invitation to Jesus and take his dying on the cross and taking his raising from the dead and taking his ascending into heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. And believing all that there is about Jesus and saying, come into my life. Change me. Give me the joy. Give me the peace I've been looking for. It just didn't work when I just said God. But now that you're inside, wow, I can grow in as much peace as I want. Nothing circumstance-wise can take away your peace unless you allow it. The enemy isn't big enough to take away your peace. You are. If you let the enemy take away your peace, you can. If you let yourself take away your peace, you can do that. God gave you that right. But why would we want to do that? Why not grow in peace? Grow in joy? There's no limit. No limit. Because there's no limit in Jesus. Are you kind of putting Jesus on this thing where, you know, the devil's here and Jesus is here and it's a battle? Oh, sometimes Jesus wins, you know, and sometimes the enemy wins. No, and we hear this all the time, you can imagine. It's just said a different way. Well, you know, I have and labeled the condition. It could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual, it could be intellectual, it could be mental. I have, and there's the label. Or I can't handle. And Jesus is far above that problem. More powerful by far over that problem. Think of the enemy as an atom and God as the universe. Is it hard for God to move an atom? No, he puts you together. Not a problem. He can arrange atoms in a certain way. We got some pretty good arrangements of atoms here today. And it's A-T-O-M, not Adam, you know, like in the garden. He came out of mud. At least you came out of a mother. He can arrange atoms, whatever he wants to do. You don't understand. The enemy's not winning. Amen. Oh boy, one. The enemy's not winning. He's not. Doesn't matter what your eyes see. Doesn't matter what you think you see in your own life. He's not winning. I've had malaria. He didn't win. Pastor Mary Pat had malaria. He didn't win. We've had financial problems in Frontline. He hasn't won. The building's paid off. The land's paid off. Look how many people are here. How did that happen? God's bigger. God's greater. God's amazing. We started out with zero, nothing. It's cool, isn't it? He's that big. He's that mighty. He's that great. Don't you need some of that? I do every day. And when I start thinking the enemy's winning, when I start thinking for a minute that this world system is just going to clobber us all, maybe we should remember the little 10-year-old boy submits 18,000 signatures and gets all things are possible with God on our state motto. A little kid, isn't that funny? Come on, 10 years old. They honored him by letting him speak. I think it was in the House of Representatives, might have been the Senate, in Ohio. 10-year-old boy. Well, he's 12 by the time the process was done. He could speak a little better at 12. So the same for us. Small devil, big God. Keep that in mind. Small circumstances, big God. I've got this habit in my life. Who hasn't had a habit? How have many of you gotten rid of the habits? Oh, I worked on it. I joined a 21-day program. I got a patch. I got a, you know, I got an injection. I got this. I got that. Jesus. Jesus. What happened to these notes? I don't know. Jesus. Come on, we need to do that daily. When I see some of you, I think of your testimonies. I don't just see you. I know some of your personal testimonies. When we go out for breakfast or when we go to someone's house or whatever and they give their personal testimonies of what God has done, I leave encouraged. From you. From you. You carry the testimony of God. It's part of your mission. I'll add that to my notes. Are we sure? Okay. There are some passages in the Bible that we all need to review. Like, we've heard them.
You will not dislike this.
But do we believe?
You will share this.
Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains as wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Many people read the Word of God. You read the Word of God when you can. Most places that I've been, and I've been a Christian since 1972. So most places I've been, different parts of the world, they are after people to read the Word of God. They're frustrated that people won't read the Word of God. And we started this ministry, obviously, with a Bible study. The Word of God was given out. But we decided we're going to take a few verses and do them with people. Not just every week or every so often say, Why don't you have a quiet time? Why don't you spend some time with God in the Bible? People have to have a mission, you see, in order to feel that it's worth something to be in the Bible. The Bible is treasure. But if you don't help people discover what their mission is, they read it as a good idea. As, oh, I hear it empowers. I don't feel it. But I hear that the Word of God empowers me somehow. Some use it as a good luck charm. If I read the Word of God, I'll have a good day. If I have a quiet time, my day will go better. That's a lie. Oftentimes, you'll end up with much more resistance and you'll notice it more because you've been in the Word of God. So the key is, I'm signing up for the mission. Then the Word of God fits in. You see, it's needed. It's necessary. I get hungry for it. I have to have it to complete my mission. Otherwise, people can take it or leave it. The Word of God, it's great. Oh, yes. Oh, God. It's God's Word. Yes, all of it. From the beginning to the end, Genesis to Revelation. It's God's Word. I believe it. I believe it. They asked Donald Trump this past week, oh, so you've been saying that your book, The Art of the Deal, written 20 years ago, is your second favorite book, and the Bible is your favorite book. He was in the Bible Belt when he said that, but anyway. what's a couple of your favorite verses? that's rather personal. I don't share on that. Excuse me. He shares on everything else. Why doesn't he have a couple verses? Because it's not part of his mission. Okay? I'm not putting down any particular person. I'm just saying, here's an example of someone that doesn't even have a couple of my favorite books, the Bible. How about a verse or two? Oh, that's too personal. He will share about his divorces and everything else on the planet, but he won't share on that topic. Why? It's not part of what motivates his mission. Jesus is a good idea. You say, well, you're judging him. I'm not. If you don't line up with this, it judges us. If I happen to say something and it lines up with this, then it is judging all of us. It is putting us all under review. And we need it. We need to be reviewed. Search my heart, O God. Search my heart, O God. We're giving him permission to do that. And this letter of love, does that. And so does the Holy Spirit, using it. So many people will read the Bible, but if they don't have a mission, if they're not in alignment with God's mission, if they're not listening to the Holy Spirit, they get many crazy ideas. Just think, if you take the Word of God alone and you don't have the Spirit of God to remind you of the things Jesus taught you, John 14:26. What's going to happen? You're going to remind yourself of the things Jesus taught. And sometimes, excuse me, they get twisted in our mind. Because if we're not following the Holy Spirit, we're under some other influences more than likely. The world, the flesh, the devil. Ring a bell? Those things affect us. They affect us so much that, do we have video number two? Wow, look at that. They affect us so much, it could look like this. Yeah. Well, not a blank wall. Wait a minute. He's on a mission, but he's chasing his own distractions. You know, I know I'm something good for God, I know. Yes, I am. I know I am. Ask somebody else that's following Jesus what they think. We're not even supposed to say we're on track without asking someone else, according to Proverbs. Ask somebody else. What do you think? Am I chasing my tail? Or am I after God's mission? That's what talking with people that have been following Jesus for decades is all about. It's not so they can control your life. It's so that they can give guidance so that you aren't chasing your tail without knowing it. With the distractions of whatever. And what did he miss out on? The same thing you'll miss out on. The doggy treat. Someone came and stole that away from him. Who's the thief in your life? Is it just the enemy? He's a pretty good one. But you can be a bigger thief. I can be a bigger thief in my mission in God than the enemy. I can take away more minutes from God. Just on my decisions alone, from the mission that he wants me on. You know, everywhere you go, you can be on a mission, or you can say, well, I'm on a mission when I go to China, when I go to Mozambique, when I go to Brazil. That's when I'm on a mission. And occasionally I get a chance to talk with somebody. Or you can say, Holy Spirit, help me. I need to see with eternal eyes towards the people around me. What can I do to speak life into someone today? What can I do to speak encouragement into someone today? Friday night we went to an outreach up in Kent, several of us, with Chinese students that are here from China going to Kent State University. Some of them can barely speak English, and so they're taking ESL classes before they even start their classes. It was like going to China. There were probably 40 there, maybe 40, 50 students. And they were showing me their cities on their cell phones, asking me to come. After we did worship, it was pretty awesome. Many of them have no clue about Jesus. But they would come up to me, and from what I said during the time of worship, they remembered the words I said. Now remember, they don't know a whole lot of English. So they would come up and they'd go, powerful Jesus. And they'd smile, because they knew two words out of my remarks. And I said, that's right. And I said, he died on the cross for my... They're watching me, you know, around the fire. He died on the cross for my sins. He raised from the dead. And they're like... That's just plain fun. To go to China, and you're in the U.S., and so they'll be part of a Friday night Bible study. This was kind of the kickoff picnic, and they're invited to come to a Bible study. I hope more come because our team was there, sharing the love and the joy of Jesus. And obviously, when you're in that situation where they don't necessarily know the language, you are the language. And the worship, how you do the worship. The children came up front and formed a circle and started dancing during our worship. So I just made sure I had a long enough cord, and I went out and danced with them while I'm playing the guitar and singing. Now, I don't know how I did that, because that takes a lot of coordination, and I don't always have that coordination. But the children inspired me. I wanted to get out and dance with the children in joy about Jesus. Most of the children that came were children of the students. They didn't know Jesus. How would you like to be someone that comes to the United States for the first time? You're invited to a picnic for the first time, where you have s'mores for the first time. You have hot dogs, possibly for the first time on a stick, over a fire. And you meet some people that are joyous, not burdened down with the burdens of life. They said, how did you find Beijing when you were there? How did you find it? They were very happy they could put a sentence together. I said, I was trying to find the sun. And they said, when they understood what I was saying, the smog is so thick in Beijing that you're looking for the sun and you kind of see the area where it might be. But there's so much smog. It was an immediate identification with them. They knew I'd been there and I wasn't lying to them. That was good. We're on a mission all the time. That was an outreach. But I love the testimonies that fill up Facebook from some of you. You see somebody at Walmart. Oh, they look like they have a limp. That poor person. They're going to get a touch of Jesus. As you go up to them, introduce yourself and pray life into them. Pray healing into them. Pray grace into them. Pray encouragement into them. You're not hitting them over the head with the Bible. Except you're doing it. You know, you're not just saying it. We used to have an illustration back when I was with the Navigators in the 1970s, and it was called the bridge illustration. And they said, now what you want to do is you want to find somebody, you want to meet somebody, and you want to try to maybe get a few minutes with them, and then you want to get a piece of paper, and you want to draw out this illustration of the gospel. And, you know, we've had success with this, and people come to Jesus all the time. So I tried it. You know, I learned the whole illustration, memorized it. I don't even memorize that many songs when I sing worship. But I memorized this illustration. Proud of myself. Went along with my scripture memory program. 60 verses. Woo! So I'm going to lay this on somebody. You know, this illustration, some of the 60 verses. I'm just going to... I maybe did that two or three times. It just didn't seem natural. But I found over the years as I shared what Jesus was doing in my life at that moment, that overwhelmed people. That made them uncomfortable. They could say yes or no to an illustration. I don't have time, whatever. It was very easy for them to put that off. But when I'm just sharing something that God did for me today, it's amazing what interest there is. And then they share about their life. And I don't have to be a hard guy on them, judgmental, come after them with, you know, I just share the love, speak some life in. And before long, they want to know him. You can tell it in their eyes. Their eyes are hungry for Jesus. Because they're discovering, wow, I'm off my mission. My parents spent their lives on work. They worked hard. I was taken care of. I worked when I was old enough for them in the business. It was all about the business, all about the work, working hard, working hard. They instilled that in me, hard work. It's a very good thing. Except that it shouldn't have been their mission. A job is not your mission. A career is not your mission. It supports your lifestyle. It supports your mission. There are people in the job that are your mission. Those are your mission. That's the treasure to God. So to summarize, it would be, well, let's see. People are God's treasure, so that's part of the mission. The presence, we need that, and everything having to do with that. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, learning how to hear the voice of God, worshiping God. Really, life's mission ends up pretty simple. If you're trying to, you know, oh my gosh, there's like 50 things that might... Just narrow it down. The presence of God, getting to know God so close that when you're faced with someone's situation, you don't go, where's the pastor? Where's the leaders? They need to talk to them. You'll know him so close. You'll hear Holy Spirit take whatever you have to share. It might be a whole bunch of passages and a whole bunch of thoughts of your own and a whole bunch of testimonies. You can't dump that on a person. I just say, show me what to share with them, because I can't share everything with them. It would blow them away. And he will give me what to share with someone, what life he wants them to know. And sometimes I'm supposed to listen and then share something small. That often happens. People will talk about their problems themselves, difficulties of life, and this person hurt them and that person hurt them, and that's why they can't get close to God once they find out I'm a pastor especially. That's why I can't make it to church. That's why I can't get close to God because of this. And they have a catalog. And my job is to come in and say, Jesus beats the catalog. Jesus is greater than the catalog. Jesus is more powerful than the catalog. Jesus comes inside and lives inside. He can show you how to take care of each item in the catalog with power and strength and healing. So as I was mentioning, on all these different areas, whether it's something personal in my body, I don't want to preach healing to you and end up with, all these aches and pains myself and I can't get out the door. I want to see Jesus give me the healing and then tell you it's possible. It's not impossible, whatever it happens to be. And there are many things we don't understand in the healing area. Many. But we're going to say, Jesus took the name Jehovah Rapha. He means it. He backs it up. And he's going to heal. He loves to heal. It's his desire. We don't have to beg him. We're sons and daughters. When we're in alignment with him, it just seems like we see more healing. So why not get into alignment? The same thing with finances. When we're in alignment with him, we see what he's doing in finances to change them. When there's a big challenge, which there is with finances, whether it's ministry, whether it's personal, you're going to have these challenges. Guess what you're supposed to do? Worry. That's right. Gee, finally, get a good answer here. Fret. Complain that the checkbook doesn't have enough in it. I don't know about you, but those things never work. So when I start on that road, and I do, when I start on that road and the Holy Spirit says, and why are you doing this? Didn't you just last week? Just last Sunday, share with people that Jesus is bigger. And here you are, Gideon behind the wine press. I don't know if I'm going to make it, God. Too many enemies, too many things against me. Hey, all of us are there. But we have to grab on to the one that gets us through those situations. And the enemy will pile on. He's not a gentleman. He will come and pile on. If there's a fire in you of worry and fretting and concern and whatever you want to call it, some people call it concern, it sounds better. I have many cares. It sounds a little better than worry. That doesn't sound so good. But the enemy, if you have that fire in you of worry, he wants to add fuel onto that fire. He'll come over with the gasoline and just pour it out. Yeah, you should be worried because, those creditors are going to get you. They're going to get you. They're going to get you. Or, your whole ministry is going to go down the tubes any minute. Because you got this financial challenge. That's what the enemy, and you're going, and he's going, And so, you shook, but now you're really shaking in fear. Fear, fear, fear. The enemy loves to foist fear on us. If you can recognize it, I love doing this in India. If you can recognize it, resist the enemy. Submit to God. Resist it. How do you kick him in the teeth? You need a visual to remind you, to remind me. Kick him in the teeth. Kick him in the teeth. Kick him in the teeth. And they said, how did you kick so high? I guess they noticed I was a little older. So I gave credit to God. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit power. In India, all the pastors. And so some of them at the end of the meeting were trying it out, Oh, a bunch of pastors in India going like this, It's kind of fun. Might as well have fun with this. Ah, yes. So what's not God's mission for us? Schooling, degrees, jobs, careers, hobbies, sports, entertainment, recreation, interests, causes, save the whales or the cheetahs. You know there's only 10,000 cheetahs left? Come on, somebody do something about it. Now, doesn't mean we can't be involved in these things. It doesn't mean that. Don't put your emphasis on it. That's not your mission, to save the cheetahs as a believer. That's God's mission. Now, he might use you in a small piece, not a problem. But don't emphasize it. Don't make it your life's mission and say, God told me to save the cheetahs. Because what if the bananas go out? Then you got to worry about the bananas. And how much time allocation are you giving to whatever things in life? So not the causes, not skills. Do you know that I actually could play guitar fantastic if I spent the time from my mission and put it into my guitar playing? I could be on YouTube. I might get on one of those talent programs. Well, they usually pick someone a little younger, but I could have back then. Work on that guitar. You know, Friday night, some of the Chinese students said, how long have you been playing the guitar? Since I was 13. So that's a way of getting around telling them your age and things like that. Since I was 13. They didn't want to ask another question. They're a very polite society. But I could be fantastic. I could actually do some finger picking, you know, some of that classical finger picking. The electric guitar, I could wail. Even more than now. Wow. And know all the scales. But I made a choice. Guitar is not going to be my mission. It's not going to be my mission. I like guitar. I like having guitars. I like buying a new guitar every once in a while, sneaking it in the door, and then Pastor Mary Pat finding out 2 weeks later. Love it. It's like my mission for a brief time period, but it doesn't take up my life. Guitar could be my life. If you work for a bananas company, that could be your life, selling bananas. Can you imagine going to heaven? What'd you do with your life? Well, I did receive you at the end, Jesus. But most of my life was taken up with bananas. As I mentioned, my parents worked and worked and worked, you know, instilled that in me. And they received the Lord, both of them, in the last year of each of their lives. Like the thief on the cross. Kind of a, you know, last minute conversion before they passed into eternity. But now they know. And if they were here right now, they would say to you, don't make your mission work, or don't make your mission one of these substitute areas. You know, with the exercise craze, the Bible says the bodily exercise is good. It's good. So I take a walk with Pastor Mary Pat, take a ride every once in a while, go to the gym for a season and then quit, just like everybody else. But I don't make my mission to have, you know, a buff body. Thank the Lord that he gave me a buff body without all that work. Michael Kiyagaba's trying to catch up with me. It's awesome. Then we get into a very difficult, touchy area. What about your marriage? Certainly, that's a mission. Especially if it's not going well. Got you there, Pastor Bill. Marriage. That's, come on, God. You know, he does the whole thing with the bride of Christ. We sang about that today. The bride of Christ and the groom. And come on, that's got to be our mission if our marriage isn't going very well. I say, if you make God's mission your mission, your marriage will improve. It'll go through a testing, but you'll find out whether both people are on God's mission. God's mission is above marriage. Many people make the mistake, oh, well, in order for my marriage to work, I will work with that person, communicate with that person. I'll communicate more. That'll do it. Communication isn't bad. But I'm finding any kind of difficulty that rises up between Pastor Mary Pat and myself. Anything. When I'm at my best, when I'm at my wisest, okay, it's not that often, but when that happens, when I'm in tune with Holy Spirit, I open my mouth not to communicate, but to pray into her. She does the same. Pray into us, whatever it might be. Do you know everything looks different in the light of eternity when you involve God in your problem? It looks totally different. When we're communicating with one another, I don't know if you've noticed, but she's at that end often, and I'm at that end. And we're trying to get to what we call Holy Spirit's page. Sometimes we want to pull a person to our page. And so there's a difficulty. Is that so hard to admit with two people? Did you always agree with every teacher you had? Of course not. Did you agree with the principal when you were in his office because you didn't agree with the teacher? Probably not. I remember getting a paddling for nothing I did on a particular occasion. Now, the other time I got the paddling, I deserved it. But the principal gave me a paddling for something I didn't deserve. So we have a difference of opinion with our authorities. You think we're not going to have a difference of opinion in marriage? Of course we are at times, many times. But if you're on the same mission, you want to get back to Holy Spirit's page. You want those things solved by going to God and involving him in those difficulties. I'm telling you. So when I'm at my best, when I'm at my wisest, when I'm listening to Holy Spirit the closest, I'll start praying into her. You know, sometimes she starts laughing. Not at my prayer, but because Holy Spirit is infused into the relationship, and suddenly these silly things that we're having a problem with each other, are just absolutely funny. And then, you know, besides that, the Holy Spirit is a lot of fun when he's moving inside of a person. So what do? I'm not nice. I pray more. And she might react under the power of God. If you haven't had that experience, you ought to try it. I'm telling you, it changes your marriage. It changes your relationship. It's fun and empowering all at the same time. Why shouldn't we lead you in some higher things in the Spirit, in joy, realizing we don't know what we're doing? Why not give you the answers when we receive them? In humility, because God already factored in our stupidity. Come on. So, you know, some of the things you hear up here, if you just did them, realizing it's not Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, follow us, we know what we're doing. No, we don't. Never let it be said we know what we're doing. But he does. And when he speaks something through us, it's life for you if you receive it. Some of you have received some amazing things from God in worship. What if we didn't have this place? What if God never came to us and said, have a little Bible study in your house? I thought it was going to be little, all right. I thought it was going to be like 8 people. Wow, woo, happy. They're listening to me play worship. Woo. And then it grew and it grew and it grew. And it touches the nations. You're like, wait, this is way over. Way over my head, God. I can't do this. But the impossible becomes possible as we're empowered by him. So we want a big mission for you. We don't want you just to think, okay, Pastor Bill, Pastor Mary Pat, they have the mission and the rest of us, meh. No, you're supposed to have a personal mission that fits in with the mission of whatever corporate body you're part of. Sometimes he'll take you out on your own mission, but it sure helps if it's blessed by those that are leaders in your life. Really does. It's amazing what God will do if you make the right things your mission. So as I mentioned, the presence is part of your mission. Love the Lord God with your whole heart. And with all your soul, and with your mind, with all your strength. You hear anything in there of less than all? No, so it's not frontline that would be so hard on you. Well, they always want me to come to these things, and they mention all these things. I can't go to all these things that frontline has. No, you can't. That's why you need to ask Holy Spirit. What should I be involved in? Where's my part? What can I give? What can I receive? It's awesome. So presence, be a lover, be a worshiper, be a son, be a servant and a slave all at the same time. Submitting to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, being aligned with God. Part of your mission is people, as we mentioned. Mark 12:31. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. No commandment's greater because this is your mission. Love God with all you are. And love people like you're loving yourself. Wow, that could be the person right in front of you. Every person right in front of you. You just go through life and the person in front of you, you love them as you love yourself with God's mission in mind. Wow, changes everything. So it kind of looks like this if we have the third video. So what's the point of this? Your mission is better with music behind it. So whenever possible, have that worship music going behind your race. You heard the guy say, that's impossible. You heard others say, too fast. Lots of criticisms. You know, if you give in to criticisms on your mission, you'll never make it to the finish line. You're going to get criticized on God's mission for you. Oh, but I'm doing good. How could I get criticized? How could people even criticize me? I'm doing what Jesus wants me to do. Oh, what happened to Jesus? Oh, they crucified him. Oh, okay. Enough of that. Yeah, Jesus had resistance everywhere he went, and all he did was heal, deliver. Delivers a person, a little boy that was throwing himself in the fire. Delivers him of a demon. Casts the demons into the pigs. They run over the cliff. People say, please, would you leave? What did they value? The little boy's life? God's treasure? Or some pigs. You know, sometimes we're valuing the things God doesn't value. And we just need to align ourselves with him. He's not mad. He's talking to us saying, hey, get back on your mission. Go for your mission. And those of you that have been on your mission, you've been in that alignment with God. You're learning. You're growing. the joy rises in you. People at work, someone told me in the parking lot today, well, it was Peter, that at work they're noticing his joy. Others have told me that. At school, they're noticing the joy. You're changing the atmosphere just by being in alignment with God. Think of that. Some of us have tried so hard to have a mission for God, so hard to have a ministry. If we would do it God's way, eyes would turn towards us and they would have to deal with Jesus one way or another. Some will react, some will realize, some will say, that's impossible, I don't believe what you say. I sat down with a pastor in the local area one time for coffee, told him the testimonies that we saw overseas of healing and deliverance of people and so on. He said, that didn't happen. That never happened. Translation, Pastor, you're delusional. Now, did I get in a fight with the guy? No, I said, well, tell you what, why don't the two of us go downtown and we'll minister together to some people. Let's just go downtown and minister to some people. He said, oh, I couldn't do that because we have two different doctrines. We know the same Jesus. Because I know that if I went down there, something's going to happen in somebody that's going to change his view. I can't change his view. He took out his Bible. He wanted to teach me. And the Lord told me not to bring a Bible. So what did he criticize? You didn't even bring your Bible for our discussion. I didn't need one. He had a big enough one for the entire table. And I just smiled, loved on him the best I could in those circumstances. But it's sad, isn't it? And then the church that he was part of is now, the building is used for something else. They're not a church. Did I do that? No. But if you limit God, you limit your mission, you limit who Jesus is. Oh, I just want to follow Jesus. He believes in healing. He took the name Jehovah Rapha. Are you going to put your hand out and just say, God, heal, deliver, help someone? Yes, he wants us to give out the gospel and salvation. But he has a bigger mission for each one of us. Bigger, bigger, greater. Don't put a limit on it. Well, I'm this age and, I've come this far, but, nothing's material. No limits. No limits. Well, I'm too young and no limits. One of the things about secretariat is lots of training. Lots of training. If you picture yourself as the jockey on secretariat and Jesus is secretariat, then the jockey has training. The jockey has certain things that he has to do in order to get that kind of response where you're carried by God to the finish line. If you look at yourself as secretariat, then secretariat needed a lot of training. And secretariat had a problem with the teeth at one point in an earlier race and wasn't at her best. They found the problem, took out the tooth or took care of that, and she raced at her best. We have things in our lives we need to get rid of, things that are holding us back from our mission. We can't blame those things. Jesus is too big. There's nothing to blame. It's too big. Everything's too small to be a hindrance. And as it says in one of the passages in the New Testament, don't become entangled with these things. Because Jesus is the ultimate untangler. So you know the verses about the gospel, taking the gospel to the nations. But just as a review, a quick review. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I used to center on the first part of that. Go My name's Goki. So the key is to go. I used to look at that. Yeah, I gotta go. But now I center on the last part. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Because I can go and run around chasing my tail. I want to go and be effective in these nations in India and other places. And that takes him with me always and being in touch with the presence of God inside of me. And then my mission is amazing, whatever I do. If I go to India and there's, you know, a place we just stop and we don't know why we're there. The pastors don't know why we're there. We just pulled up this vehicle. We're in this village. And yeah, we did an outreach here last time you were here. Oh, okay. We're not doing one here. No, we're not doing. Why are we here? I don't know. That's what the answer was. You remember that? That's what the answer. Let's go take a seat. So we go take a seat. We, you know, sit down on a little bench that was by a tree. There's a outreach starting at the next village. Yeah, it's already started. Why aren't we going there? And then we suddenly, there must be a reason we're here. They don't know. We don't know. Holy Spirit knows. So here comes, you know, a few people up. We go. Oh, this person, what, do you have anything? Yeah, my knees. Before I went to India, both my knees were healed. Oh, okay, you know. So I went after this guy's knees, and what came out of me was more than I planned. I mean, I took his knee. I mean, the guy, I wasn't looking at his face because my eyes were closed, but I have a picture in my mind, and he's going, I just clamped my hands on his knees and I prayed, you know, with fire. And I'm thinking to myself, where did that come from? A minute ago, I was confused why we were here. And now I'm praying with fire over this guy. And they said, so how you feeling? And, good. You know, it's normal reaction overseas. Oh, good. Why don't you walk out there? Well, he could walk before, so he starts walking, and, you know, he's like, at first he's a little ginger, and then, you know, he doesn't need his cane anymore. Oh, how are your knees? Well, the real test, they say, in India, is not walking. He could bear with walking. They squat when they sit all the time. And so they said, he needs to squat. I said, fine. Have him squat. So we squatted. And they said, I had him get up, and I'm doing it with him, and we're both squatting. Plié. And here I am squatting with this guy. And he's, you know, going up and down. How are your knees? Great. They're great. And so the guy next to him, my knees hurt. We prayed over his knees. So we had some healing there. And they said, oh, by the way, the first guy you prayed for, he is the chief of the village in India, Hindu. And so he prayed to receive Jesus. Wow! That's why we were there. You might even be confused in your mission for a moment. Don't worry, it'll clear up. Maybe the skies over Beijing won't clear up, but your mission will clear up. If you'll believe it, you'll believe him to clear it up. So the enemy's going to come after you, but this is what you do with the enemy. Some of you have seen that before. We're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting our cares upon him, as it says in 1 Peter 5. We're to be of sober spirit, because he comes like a roaring lion, like a roaring lion. But he's not the roaring lion. You are. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So you resist him, it says. You resist him at every turn. He's going to throw fear on you. Confusion. Depression. Label. Are you going to roar or are you going to take it? Are you going to roar or are you going to take it? I'm not taking it anymore. The enemy's done. I'm not taking it anymore. As much as I can tune into Jesus' power. My big declarations are Peter without the power of Jesus. I wouldn't, oh Lord, I would die for you. I would die. Do you know him? Little girl says, I saw you with, no. We're all cowards without the power of Holy Spirit inside of us. We're cowards towards our situations, towards our fears in every way, and they can overwhelm us. But when we draw into God, it says, draw into him and resist the enemy. What does it mean to draw into him? Just show up at church? Just hang out with other believers and occasionally mention Jesus? Or do we make it the entire point of everything we're doing? Marriage, children. Forgot to mention children. If you think, well, children are my mission, that's my mission. It is part of your mission. They can become partners in the mission if you don't have fear that they could get hurt in the mission. You have to say, God, you can do in my children whatever you want to do. You can use them in your mission for them. Show us as parents. Let them partner with us as we go out and do mission for you. And they will learn, they will grow, and they might even leave the mission for a season. For a season. But you contend for them to come back to God's heart. Because they're giving in to the fears of this life. Maybe the world's ways. Maybe money, like the rich young ruler. But because of the things you've taught them and put as a foundation in their life, they could come back. If you want to read a passage that's very challenging about the kingdom, read Matthew 13. Read through it. It talks about the soils. It talks about many parables that Jesus gave about the kingdom. We have to tell one another we're about the kingdom all the time to remind each other. Otherwise, something in this world can grasp our attention and sometimes take people away into places they never really thought they would go. People that were on a mission and suddenly, oh, I'm going to develop this and that will be my mission, like Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to build this palace, and oh, I built it. Then he ate grass for 7 years, and Daniel kept the kingdom together so no other ruler came in, I believe. And then he came to his senses and declared the goodness of God, the mightiness of God, rescuing him out of mental problems, huge mental problems. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We're not going to eat grass. We're going to eat at the banqueting table. More and more and more. We're going to encourage one another to go after your mission. Father, we're going to listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit, the true voice that matches up with the Word of God, with godly counsel, Father, with Proverbs, with Psalms, much of the wisdom. We're going to check things that we feel in our heart are you. We're going to make sure they're confirmed. But then, if they are, we're going to launch into them like a roaring lion. And the enemy will run. The enemy will be defeated. If we run into hardship, if we run into suffering, we're going to blast through it because you're inside of us, empowering us. If we run into things we don't understand, we're going to allow you to show us the way through. You do it. You always do it. Are we willing to receive it? God, we lay down our mind that thinks so many things that need to be refreshed by your Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We lay down our emotions that like to take the lead, that like to freak out, that like to fear, that just match up with fear so easily. God, we lay them down and we say, Holy Spirit, give me the courage as you empower me from the inside out, and fear will go. We'll be attacked by the enemy. You will give us wisdom how to bust through, how to break through. There might be a Red Sea behind us, but there's a God who can open it. Lord God, when the enemy's chasing us, trying to destroy us, you will stand for us, God, if we're on your mission. Lord God, help us to let you redeem the days that we've not been on our mission, if that's the case. Redeem it. Just redeem it, God. Redeem the time. Redeem the time in us, and we will have joy in the newfound joy that we have in the mission, Lord. Thank you, God. Make it clearer and clearer to us how we can support, how we can serve, how we can love you. Sometimes, Father, you have us wait for a period of time. Give us that patience. We have to serve others before we're allowed to reach a place of being in charge of something. God, give us that heart to serve others before our full mission for ourselves, in a sense, breaks through. We're always on the mission. We're always on the mission, no matter if we're in charge or not of something. Thank you, God. You're so good. Rein in our distractions. Rein in where we put our time, God. I stand before you saying that for myself, where I put my time that's wasted. Jesus, your mission is worthy of my attention. Your mission, your people that you want saved, healed, delivered, changed, turned around, Father, transformed, is worth it, putting aside all distractions, all things that entangle. God, we'll have much more joy than we can even contain in the middle of your mission. When it might be the fiercest battles, we'll have the most joy to conquer it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Speak to each person as you only you can do. Go deeper in them, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Yes.